be in fellowship with God. We are made to walk with Him. And God breathed on mankind. God formed man different than the animals. So animals, all that God did was speak it, and it was so. But when it came to humanity, God did something amazing and special. And He gave us stewardship over the whole world. And then, of course, we know what happened, the fall. And in the fall, Eve and Adam decided that they had a better way. They listened to this, Lucifer, who was a fallen angel, and they turned their back on God. And they were cut off from the tree of life as a result of that. We saw what the consequences were as we went through that study. And now Adam and Eve have been put out of the garden. They've lost their intimate relationship with God. It doesn't mean that God abandoned the human race. We saw even a hint of a promise there that Satan would be defeated by the seed of woman. But chapter 4 begins to give us a little more of what the consequences are of sin. I think it's important for us to realize, and I know you've heard me say it more than once, that there's no such thing as one small sin. Sin carries on. And as a matter of fact, the Bible actually says the sins of the fathers will be visited on the children to the third and the fourth generation. That's not that God wants to punish people because of their father's sins. It's a natural consequence that if I live a sinful lifestyle, I am going to pass on, I'm going to teach my children something that they will take in, and often it will be passed from generation to generation. And I want to say this, Jesus breaks those chains. Jesus breaks that stuff. Because of salvation, because He changes our lives, because we become a new creation, we don't have to fall into the trap of sin in the same way. So Adam and Eve are put out of the garden. Now what's interesting to notice, Adam and Eve couldn't have been in the garden very long. Why? Why would I say that? Does anybody know why? They never had any children. And what had God told them when He made them?
To multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply. So He told them to be fruitful and multiply. They were two perfect human beings. The gene pool of the entire human race was wrapped up in two people. The entire human race. The gene pool was perfect. It was as varied as it could get. Everything was there for all of humanity. They were the first two perfect people. So there wouldn't have been, can't get pregnant. Right? There wouldn't have been issues like that. Everything would have been set for them to be able to have children and for everything to go well. And, bonus, no pain in childbirth. We know that changed once the fall came. But it tells us something, that when God gave them the command to be fruitful and multiply, they certainly weren't going to disobey it. And so we can see that the fall was immediate. It wasn't a long period of time, but immediate we have the fall. That's something to think about, isn't it? That how quickly they turned, how quickly they were turned, and for us, sin turns our head pretty quick, doesn't it? And we've got a sinful nature, so probably even quicker. But we discover in Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And that doesn't mean that Adam discovered that Eve was in the garden. The word knew is used in this context that Adam had physical relationships with his wife. I think some of the other translations will read that way. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. There's hope in even that one statement that says, even though Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, even though they had lost that intimate relationship with God as a result of sin, who did they acknowledge?
The Lord.
The Lord. They knew who God was. You don't see them saying, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God because he didn't do things the way I wanted. I'm mad at God because he just didn't say it's okay that you sinned. Because we know the consequences, if they had taken to the tree of life, they would have consistently lived for eternity without any redemption. And so even the judgments of God have mercy, and they knew it. They acknowledged it. I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. And that speaks volumes. Someone asked, do you think that Adam and Eve were redeemed at the end of it all? And I have great hope that they were redeemed. I have great hope. I see it even here, that they didn't become hard. They didn't become harsh. They didn't turn away from God, but they acknowledged the Lord. And she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. And so now we have Cain and we have Abel. Everybody's heard of Cain and Abel, right? Okay. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they both had different callings, shall we say, in their life. One was a shepherd and the other was a gardener. And it came to in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So again, we can see that there was worship. There was worship going on. That Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel to worship the Lord. That there was an ongoing relationship that God still had with humanity. Even though they had been put out of the garden, even though there were serious consequences to sin, God was still there and God was at work. And when we discover here that Cain, he was a gardener, and so he offered a sacrifice to the Lord. Now the sacrifice that he offered to the Lord is a sacrifice of what? What did he bring?
Fruit.
And why would he bring fruit? Or the fruit of the ground, it says.
Right.
Which is his gardening, right? He brought what he had grown. Why would he do that?
Maybe to honor the Lord and thank him for his bounty.
Okay. What would you do if you were to bring an offering to the Lord and it was you grew vegetables? What would you do? You'd probably bring vegetables, right?
And probably the best.
And the best vegetables, sure. I'm sure that Cain did bring the best vegetables. So let's see what happened. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, why didn't he take Cain's offering, and why did he respect Abel's offering?
I guess he didn't like vegetables. I don't know.
I guess he wasn't a vegetarian, is what you're saying, right?
Right. Because Cain just probably didn't give him his first, a plentiful amount or whatever, and the other until he gave the first pickings of his...
Okay, that's a speculative answer, but... There must be some reason why Abel's offering was respected and Cain's wasn't. Do we have all the instructions, do you think, that God had given to Adam and Eve when they were put out of the garden? We have what the Bible tells us, but it doesn't tell us every interaction that God had with them. It does tell us that immediately God killed animals. It was the first killing of animals was when he clothed them with animal skins. But if we go all the way through the Bible, when it comes to bringing an offering to God, what kind of offering is accepted for sin?
Blood.
blood offering. And so it looks, in Hebrews 11:4, here's what it says. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. So, I believe because the offering that God accepted for sin was blood sacrifice all the way through the Bible, I believe that it was clear for Cain and Abel that they were to bring a blood sacrifice. Now, Cain, how could he bring a blood sacrifice? What could he have done? What's that? He could have traded some veggies.
But how would he know that he wanted blood?
Well, what I'm saying is that I believe that God would have revealed that to him, instructed them to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been fair to Cain. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see the results of this and see what goes on here. But, you know, you could say, well, a person should bring their best to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. We could all, you know, say a person should always bring their best to the Lord. But in one sense, even if you brought the best of what you thought you should do to the Lord, does that mean God is going to accept it? No. You know that in the Old Testament, God had told Saul, the king, told him, I want you to conquer these people, and I don't want you to keep anything. I don't want to keep sheep, animals, nothing. This is the instruction from the Lord. Now, Saul was given very clear commands. After they had defeated them, and after they defeated them, Samuel, the prophet, shows up. What's the bleating of sheep that I hear in my ears? Samuel said. And Saul says, well, it seemed like a waste. I thought that I would keep the best animals to sacrifice to the Lord, plus some other things. And you know, as a result of that, Saul lost his kingship. As a result of that, Saul was judged because he didn't do what the Lord said. So it's obvious to me that there had to be a disobedience involved in this offering. And it is, we're looking back, but we can say this. God is not looking for what you think you can do for God. God is looking for you to do what he tells you to do. And he takes it seriously. And so in this circumstance, it is obvious that Cain decided, why should I have to take one of Abel's sheep? I've got the best cabbages in the world here. Probably had the only cabbages. Why? It's the best that I have. Why can't I take that to God? I'm going to make my own sacrifice. I'll give God what I think I should give to him. So he goes ahead and does it. God says, I don't accept it. Now, if the tables were reversed and Abel was the gardener and Cain was the shepherd, I don't know what would have happened. But I know that there was certainly an acceptance. It says it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And I certainly don't believe that God was being unjust. It wasn't that, oh, Abel, you're so much better than Cain. Or it could be what Florence was saying. Maybe Cain brought the worst of his offering to God. But when you look at the whole story of the Bible, you constantly find blood sacrifice was necessary. And blood sacrifice was necessary because it was a constant reminder of how serious sin is. Sin always brings death. So it says that the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, the results of this didn't have to go this way at all. It didn't have to go this way, because what does it say about Cain? What was Cain?
Angry.
He was very angry, and his countenance fell. He was very angry. He didn't submit to God. He didn't say, God, I'm sorry. God, I acknowledge I did the wrong thing here. There was remedy for this, wasn't there? Was there remedy? If a person does wrong and goes the wrong way and the Lord reveals it to him, and Cain, it was revealed to Cain right there, what could he have done? I'm sorry, Lord. Show me the right way here. Show me what to do. But what happened? The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. He says to Cain, Cain, I'm warning you. Do you understand what's really happening here? Saying the issue here is sin. That there is a rebellion in your heart. Sin wants to take a hold of you, but you should rule over the sin. You should not allow the sin to rule over you. Is that making sense so far? Okay. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. I've heard the murder rate in Chicago is pretty high. Just recently I saw a news clip about the murder rate in Chicago. A lot of murders happen in the world, don't they? But when the population is only 3 people and there's a murder, that's a pretty high rate, right? That's 1/3. And that's what it was. How quickly do we go from don't eat the fruit of the tree to murder? One generation, that's all. When sin rules, when sin comes, it is ugly indeed. And if you haven't watched in the last 20 years, see the deterioration of our society and sin rampantly running. Once you remove the restraints of morality and the truth of the Word of God, mankind will not, they're like a train wreck. They will go full tilt towards sin. No, nothing stopping them. And all the while proclaiming their own goodness in the process. Well, here we see how quickly things have deteriorated. So Cain, he's talking with Abel, his brother. I wonder what he was talking about. Can you surmise? What was on Cain's mind? What do you think?
Is the Lord turned my gift down?
Yep. He was angry. Who was he angry at now?
His brother.
Why would he be angry at his brother? Did his brother do something wrong?
Jealousy.
He's the favorite.
What's that?
He was the favorite.
He considered him the favorite, so he was jealous. All these things, all those things were welled up into Cain's soul. So Cain would be angry at God, and he was angry at his brother. He couldn't kill God. But he could do something against his brother. He rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. How tragic this is, but how rapidly did sin reveal its ugliness in humanity when the first 2 children born, one kills the other. How seriously we need to take sin. How we need to understand that those small decisions that we make to think that that little sin is okay, it will bring consequences in our lives and the lives of people around us. And it ought to cause us to be very careful in how we conduct ourselves. Very careful in what we do or what we don't do. Make sure, God, give us grace, Lord, to do the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing is not easy. Sometimes it can be tough. But let me encourage all of us, do the right thing in the first place. And when we sin, don't justify it. Don't try to blame it on somebody else, because that's exactly what Cain did. Who was he blaming?
Abel.
Abel. It was Abel's fault. However he figured it out, it was Abel's fault. His mind had become warped and twisted. And the Lord told him, If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. He could have repented right there. He could have said, "Forgive me, Lord. Whatever sacrifice you want, I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to do the right thing." But that's not what he did. Instead, he went out and he murdered his brother. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel, your brother?" He says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Isn't that an old saying? Have you heard that saying before? Am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to be watching over him? Is it my responsibility to look after him? Who was the firstborn?
Abel.
Was Abel the firstborn?
Cain.
Oh, Cain.
Cain was the firstborn, right? Usually the older should be looking after the younger, right? But he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I don't know. He said, "What have you done?" "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." There was judgment. There was an immediate consequence to Cain's sin. And God says, the voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Now, did the Lord already know what Cain had done? He says, "Where's your brother?" Did Cain know? So he's lying on top of that. Isn't that what happens when sin happens? We try to cover it up. And then we try to cover it up again. What did he do? He took his brother and he killed him. And then he hit him, obviously. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? What an answer that he gave here. There's no repentance. There's no turning from sin. And the Lord says, "You are cursed from the earth. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you will be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He must have loved gardening. It must have been the very what he lived for. And maybe he lived for gardening more than anything else. I don't know. But he said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He said, "You'll no longer be able, you'll be a fugitive and you'll be a vagabond on the earth." Cain said, "Surely you've driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. It will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." Now, how many people were there so far that we know of?
Four.
Yeah, I said three earlier, didn't I? Sorry about that. Well, there's three left, but four is right. There were four people, so how can somebody find him and kill him? Where did all these other people come from?
I'm all mixed up from the beginning.
Are you? What's mixed you up?
I don't know. Abel, Cain, where'd they come from?
Adam and Eve had children.
Adam and Eve. Now, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
They had two sons.
Yeah. Adam and Eve had two sons.
Yeah.
So now, you said there were three.
Four. I meant four. There's Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. There was three left.
Who was the father and mother? Adam and Eve?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I got that.
Okay.
Now, to follow what you're saying, you know, you said and all that, being a Christian is a very, very hard job.
It is impossible.
I think the devil is gaining ground sometimes.
Sometimes he does. He gained ground here, didn't he? So the hope that we have is not our perfection. The hope that we have is to turn to the Lord. Even Cain, what did he need to do when he had sinned? He needed to repent. God gave him opportunity. Didn't he give him opportunity? Didn't he tell him exactly that sin was lying at the door? And sin is not hard to be lying at the door, is it? Sin lies at the door with every one of us. But he says, "Sin, don't let sin rule over you. Don't let sin take control of you." God knew what was coming, and he gave Cain ample warning. But Cain plowed on with his sin. Cain became obsessed with his sin. And in the end... He killed his brother.
In the Old Testament, I read a lot of it, but I hope I understood right. To go and multiply way back when, even the girls and the father slept with the father to have kids.
Well, we're going to look at that in a second.
No,
there was a circumstance where a father did sleep with his children.
That's right.
But the Bible didn't say it was right.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just read that.
It did happen, though. And I'm afraid that's not only happened there. It's happened down through the centuries in lots of places as well. No, God didn't condone it, but it did happen.
But when he told Adam and Eve to multiply,
yes.
So they had two boys.
Yes.
Well, then how were they going to multiply? The only way was to sleep with their mother?
No.
Well, where's the girl?
Good question.
That's what I get.
We're going to answer that question here, and I give me a second, and I'll give you the verse for it.
Maybe you shouldn't have this question.
No, that's what we're here for. To get our questions answered.
Better.
And so I'm going to give you a passage here in Genesis. And the passage actually tells us that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. Yeah. So I don't have it in this here. In this.
So then the brothers separate the sisters?
Yes.
To get.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, that wasn't sinful until the time of Moses. Yeah. But why is that? Why wouldn't that be sinful? Tell me what happens when a brother sleeps with a sister and a baby comes out. What happens today if that happens?
Incest.
Severely retarded.
Because of defective genes
sometimes.
Yeah, that comes out of that.
So that's what happens, isn't it? Now you end up with deformity, you end up with mental illness, you end up with physical deformities. That's quite typical that happens. If there is close inbreeding, that's what you get. Why didn't it happen there?
Because the line was pure.
That's right. There were no gene defects. And as horrible as it does sound to us, Amy, your face. And it is, it's taboo, right? It's taboo. It's bizarre to even think about this, but you have to understand that at the beginning Adam and Eve were perfect in their creation. And they had the gene pool that was enough that it was no issue for a brother and sister to marry. And as they multiplied, then more and more. We don't have they speak here of Cain and Abel and the death of Cain and Abel, but already Adam and Eve had other brothers and sisters. So my math wasn't actually all that accurate, because it says Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. So Cain and Abel were the first ones, and as they grew, Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters, and as they grew, now you have to understand that Adam and Eve, how old did they live to? Do you remember?
But back then they were living very old, right?
They lived very old.
30, 140?
Well over 100.
340. Maybe day and night
like the. Let's see, the days of Adam. I should have marked this down. I'm in Genesis 5. Adam lived 930 years and he died. 930 years.
Was it the same years as now?
What we had then was perfection. Remember, they came from perfection. Listen, take away all the drugs and all the medical procedures that we have in our present culture, and how long would people be living for?
Not long. I mean, people in the nursing home. Some of them, you know.
It's just, we're being kept alive.
Yeah.
We are being kept alive. The reality is that the human race is not improving in its health, but deteriorating. We're deteriorating. We're not getting better and better and better. We're actually deteriorating. And we need everything and all the technology we can to keep us getting improving. The gene pool has weakened down through the years, But when you start with perfection, you have the longevity. You'll see, when you once you get to the time of Noah, you'll find that there was a complete turnaround. Even after the flood, Abraham lived 130 years, that there was a huge drop and there's other reasons that can be brought out as to why. Some have said that there was could have been what everybody is crying against now, the carbon dioxide protection that can actually bring us from the sun, the greenhouse effect. That if the greenhouse effect was in effect pre-flood days, then you wouldn't have had any exposure to harmful rays from the sun. You wouldn't have any radiation from the sun.
So everything was perfect, the weather and everything else was perfect.
That's right.
So that's why they lived that long.
We see here. We see that they started with perfection, mm-hmm. and it went downhill. And so if a brother married his sister, there wouldn't be any defects in that child because the access to the gene pool wasn't limited. But if you go down the road thousands of years and you have, you know, a limited gene pool here, and then you have a limited gene pool here in the brother and the sister, and they get married and they have children, then they have a small gene pool to draw from. And so that the lack of genes to create the variation that's needed, it's just not there. So you end up with defects. They have that problem when they breed dogs. When you get into purebred breeding, then you're breeding out all the other traits that dogs have. Remember that initially there was just a couple of dogs. And those dogs were perfect. But those dogs... as people chose to breed dogs and take select certain attributes or attributes from a dog and keep selecting those alone and those alone to the exclusion of others, after a while, those genes aren't there anymore, and you end up, generally, if you breed purebreds too long in one single direction, you end up with defects. That's what happens. And that's what happens with this. So... When Cain speaks about other people, you're talking, we don't know at what point that Cain killed Abel. We don't know if they were 200 years old. We don't know if they were 300 years old. But we do know that it would have caused, there was plenty of other children that would have been around. And all those children would have had children. And that there would have been, you know, after a while you end up marrying cousins, then you end up marrying third cousins, right? As the generation would have expanded, you would have had a wider pool to draw from, so to speak. The forbidding of brother marrying sister came in with the law of Moses, which would have been 1800, almost 2500 years after Cain and Abel. And so there was a point where that became forbidden. But even now, third cousins still get married in some cultures. And I know of first cousins who are married, who did get married, even in this area. And it didn't bode well, but it's happened. And even once in a while, it's happened where a brother and a sister have gotten married through not realizing that they were brother and sister. And the results of that were catastrophic. So when we wonder, well, where did all these people come from? We have an answer for that. That Cain and Adam and Eve were the literal father and mother of the entire human race. And when they started, it wasn't taboo for a brother to marry a sister. And the reason why was because they had perfect genes at the time. And it is revolting to us now, and it should be, because it doesn't work. It's wrong on that level. And as a result of that, you have a problem if a brother and a sister marry. And so that's why Cain could say, if anyone finds me, he will kill me. That's why there were other people. And there were other people. And when we get into Genesis chapter 5, you have the generations that are listed and the number of children and the different children, some of the children that they had. And Adam and Eve had a son named Seth, and the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. And then he stopped having babies from 800 years to 930, 130 years. So I guess his childbearing years were over at 800. Yeah, this is true. Yeah. So, Gord, you just had your what birthday did you just celebrate? You're seven. Oh, you can have another 200. You're good for a couple of hundred more years. Kids, boy. Now, at this time, though Cain killed Abel, the Lord didn't kill Cain. He could have. He could have struck him dead. But he said, Cain, I'm going to put a punishment on you that you're going to wander the earth. And you're no longer going to be able to till the ground like you did. And Cain said, no, somebody's going to kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain... Oh, he said, the Lord said... Where was it here? He'll kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And that was the story of his Cain. Did Cain have children after that? He knew his wife. She conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took for himself two wives. Boy, it wasn't long. Now we find that polygamy starts. Now, it doesn't say the Lord blessed and that the Lord was in favor of this. This Bible just tells you the way it was. The name of one was Adah, and the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, and Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. So again, you see that sinful, murderous conduct was still happening. That strife was happening in the human race, the result of sin. If Cain will be avenged sevenfold, then I will be avenged, Lamech says, 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son and named him Seth, for God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. And then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And so even what I wanted to point out tonight was the seriousness of sin. I mean, we saw some of the historical things as well. But that sin is serious. It is an infection. It causes grief. But there's hope. There's hope even here, we see. In the midst of all of this, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Which tells us that there was a period of time when there was little calling on the name of the Lord. Right? That's what it says. And don't forget, we're dealing here with a period of within 1,000 years or more that we see that sin was rampant, and yet at the same time, there was mercy, there's grace, and that people in their darkness call on the Lord. And so should we. So, I know it was maybe the most exciting Bible study tonight, but to stop and realize how serious sin is and the results of it in humanity, but there's still hope. People can still call on the name of the Lord. And the truth is the same as it was then. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be saved. That's right. Because when you get into chapter 5 and you see all of the people that lived, eventually you're going to come to a man named Noah. But there's a fellow named Enoch in here as well. And Enoch was the son of Jared. And it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So, in the middle of all of this that was happening, there was a man named Enoch, in chapter 5, who walked with God. And suddenly he was not. That means that immediately he was taken. That Enoch was lifted out. God took him. Just like that. And it's just a little phrase in the midst of all of these generations. And this little phrase again shows us there were some who walked with the Lord in the midst of the darkness. And my encouragement to you is walk with the Lord in the middle of the darkness. Walk with God. I'm not saying he's going to zap you out, take you home just like that. But he'll be with you. Walk with God. We have choices to make. Cain was faced with a choice. All of us are guilty like Cain, aren't we? All of us have sinned. Remember, sin is sin, right? Cain's first sin was that he offered the wrong sacrifice to God. That was his first sin. And he had an opportunity to repent, and he refused to do it. And it led to more sin. So how careful we should be, how quick we should be to repent of our sin, turn back to the Lord, and walk with the Lord every single day of our lives. I was going to jump into the New Testament, showing the answer for sin, but I think I'm going to go a little farther in Genesis again, looking at Noah, looking at some of the things that happened, because this, at the end of this set of generations, which is about 1800 years, we have Noah coming on the scene, and we find how bad the world has gotten, how it has deteriorated in its in the sense of any walk with God at all, and also what God does about it. And I know you know the story of Noah, but I think there are some things you may not know as we go through this that passage of Scripture. But here again, we see the story of Cain and Abel, and we see what the results of sin are and the ongoing results of it. And may God have mercy on us and protect us and keep us. Never be tempted towards sin, because it's always going to produce death. The wages of sin is death. It always will be. Any other comments or questions?
When does the devil come in?
Pardon me?
When does the devil come in?
The Bible?
Devil.
The devil? Okay, we talked about that earlier, but that's okay. The devil came in. The devil was an angel, and so the devil and the demons that went with him. In the New Testament, it speaks about the dragon taking a third of the stars of heaven down. And so it's assumed that it's possible that it would be a third of the angels chose to rebel with the devil. The devil was a top angel. He was one of the God's top angels. And he made a choice. He said, I will lift up myself to be like the Most High. So he says that, who needs God? I'll be God. And as a result of that, he fell. The fall of angels is really tragic, because there's no redemption for angels. There's no redemption for angels, because they had everything they could possibly have in the presence of God. And they chose to rebel, and God didn't provide a way for them back. And they won't come back. And so the devil comes into the picture. We understand that the fall happened even before Adam and Eve fell. The devil rebelled and fell. And so that's why he came into the garden and tempted them. Now, Adam and Eve had no sin in them when they were in the garden. So when the devil came, it wasn't like they had the pull of a sinful nature like we had. They simply listened to the devil instead of God. Eve listened to the devil instead of God, and that's where the fall came.
So before man, there was angels.
Yes, the angels would have been created, or right around the same time, maybe previous to it, in the time of creation. Yeah. And obviously, there's a lot of angels that didn't rebel and that didn't fall, and the Bible speaks of thousands upon thousands and ten thousands of his angels in different passages of Scripture in the Word of God. But the devil was created to live forever, as you and I were. We are created to live forever. We will exist forever somewhere. And that is the result of the devil and his angels' fall. The Bible says at the end of the age that he'll be cast into a lake of fire where he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then the Bible also says, well, if you choose to follow the devil, that's where you'll go too. We are created to exist forever. But the eternal life that God offers is eternal union with God. It's not just dying and ceasing to exist or just living in some plane of existence. It's eternal union with God or eternal separation from God. That's the result of what the fall would produce. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, there were two trees. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat the tree of life and live forever. Or they could eat, and that live forever means to be in forever union with God. That's what they could have had. But instead they chose the wrong tree. As a result of choosing the wrong tree, God barred them from the tree of life so that they would not take of this and exist physically forever in sin. Because sin has consequences. It produces death. And so that the opportunity for redemption could come to humanity. Otherwise it wouldn't have come.
That's a good explanation of that.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Can you just say that once more? So if they ate of the tree of life, they would live forever in sin.
Yes.
So
they would have had the same judgment of angels. Okay. There would have been no redemption.
But without eating of either tree, they still had everlasting. We have everlasting. Our existence.
They had conditional. They were in a conditional situation. All they needed to do was take the tree of life. They chose the wrong tree.
But when they were created, weren't they created with an ever...
A soul that lives forever,
yeah.
Yes. And their body would have existed forever as well. Except, if you take this, the day you eat it, you shall surely die. There was a condition. One condition. That's it. And they took that. And death entered the human race. And if an attempt to reverse the death by taking the other tree wouldn't have done it. It would have caused them to be sealed in the doom of humanity with a sinful nature with no redemption because death has to happen because of sin.
So this might be a silly question, but were they supposed to take of the tree of life?
Well, obviously, it was important to the tree of life because we saw in Genesis chapter 3 that immediately they were barred from that.
Yeah.
Lest they take of it and eat
live
and live
sin.
Forever in sin. Yeah.
But if they hadn't taken from it, if they hadn't sinned.
Yes. And taken of the tree of life.
Then they would have been the Garden of Eden forever.
Yes.
And we wouldn't need Christ.
That's
to
right.
Save us. Okay.
Yeah. But because they chose the wrong tree, death had to happen. And our death has to happen. Physical death happens because sin came in the world. And eventually the death of Christ had to happen to redeem us from the consequences of sin. Yeah.
Think of the life mankind would have had if they hadn't done that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But have you ever chosen the wrong tree?
A long time ago, when we were living in Waltham, I took some... We were going to charismatic...
Yes.
Session. And I don't know, somebody was asking questions and they said, was they ate the apples from the tree, the wrong tree or something.
It wasn't an apple, by the way.
Yeah.
Cranberry? Or a fig.
Yeah, no. It doesn't say what it was. It says the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Anyway.
Then whoever was in charge said, there was no such thing as a real tree. And it wasn't like an apple tree and an orange tree. That was just a way of saying...
Analogy.
Yes, now I'm confused.
Okay.
Well, can be
If the Bible says that something is true, it's true. If the Bible says that God made the world in 7 days, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and he made them, he made it. If he said that he put two trees in the garden and he told them to eat one and don't eat the other, why would I want to say it wasn't that? There nowhere does it teach in the New Testament or the Old Testament that that was imagery. It says this is what it was. This is what happened. It says that the Shining One came, that Lucifer came into the garden and he deceived Eve. And she took of it. So, why would I try to change that? I would change it if I didn't believe that it was so. There's no need to change it. This is what God says to happen. It says that God barred them from the tree of life. I mean, if you wanted to read imagery into it, all what we do know is that mankind was given a choice. They made the wrong choice. The result of it is that sin came into the whole world, and the whole world is fallen as a result of it. And that God has sent his son, Jesus, to redeem us from the wrong choice.
Well, to me that would make more sense.
Well, all that's exactly what happened.
Well, I understand it better this way.
Yes.
The tree of life instead of just a...
Well, why couldn't there be a tree? Why wouldn't it? They were given a choice. We know they made the wrong choice.
Yeah, but they knew they made the wrong choice.
Oh, yeah, they were told. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. They warned them. They were warned. So... why wouldn't it, if it wasn't a tree, what was it then? Oh, well, maybe, what was it? Oh, God said, don't go over that barrier over there, and they went over it. Whatever we use, we're going to be coming up with the thing that the wrong choice was made, right? The right choice could have been made, but the wrong choice was made. And if God says that he put two trees in the garden, and he gave them the opportunity to make the right choice, and they chose the wrong tree, what's the matter with that? Why would that be hard to believe? Like, what would be in that story that would say, well, that sounds like a fairy tale. I mean, is it, why wouldn't God put a tree here and a tree? He can put any tree, as many trees as he wants. And he puts a tree and he says, okay, don't touch that tree. This tree, you're free to have it. All the other trees you can have in the garden, just don't take this one. And they chose to take the wrong tree.
But that was a big temptation.
It was.
Because?
Well, it wasn't a temptation because they had no sin in them. They didn't have a sinful nature. They didn't have sin on the inside. You do, and so do I. They didn't have a sinful nature. It was a temptation when Satan came and began to convince. The temptation had to come from the outside. It didn't come from the inside. Eve had no thought of eating that tree until the devil came along and said, has God really said you won't die? And so the devil lied to her, told her this is the way it was. And on top of that, when she took it, what did she do?
Tell Adam,
come on, Adam, you have one too, right? Yeah, and that's what sin does. Sin loves company. Yeah. So it shouldn't be that confusing when you stop and you think about the realities of it. Whatever the situation, even if you want to imagine it was some other scenario, there was a choice to be made, and they made the wrong choice. And why wouldn't it be a tree? Could have been anything else, but why wouldn't it be a tree? Why would I want to have to change it from being a tree to say, oh no, it couldn't have been a tree, it must have been some other decision that they had to make. So, but yeah, that's not uncommon though. Why should, if the plain truth of Scripture makes sense, don't go looking for some other sense.
That's the way many of us were instructed, and it made it very confusing.
Yes.
Because it was from a textbook and not from the Word.
Right. Yeah.
I completely understand the question, where you're coming from.
And then, if the Scripture says something, I don't have to create something else and say, okay, now this is what it was. It wasn't this. If the Bible is speaking about... Genesis is a history book. It isn't an allegorical book. It's a history book. And it's going detailed into history. So detailed that it actually says the names of people. You know, this person begat that person, who begat that person, who had that person. That's what you read in genealogy books. Dry reading for most people, but there's some people that delight to, you know, read genealogies. Other people says that's boring, right? But it lists the very names of people, the individuals, and how their children, what the names of their children were. That's not allegorical. That's not like, oh, you know, They had a lot of children, and that's the end of the story. It gives lists of the very names of those people. So it's not dealing with ambiguous thoughts here. It's dealing with very literal truths. And that's a really good question.
Yeah.
It is. Because a lot of people are faced with that.